This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Today, we hear about unclean spirits. Normally not spoken about, but I thought it was a good challenge to do it. We hear Jesus. The setting is Jesus is in Capernaum, so he's still in Jewish territory. He had just left the baptism and then the 40 days in the desert. The Spirit let him out, and for 40 days he's tempted. 40 long days in the desert, right? And so he's tempted, and he meets the unclean spirit of all unclean spirits, the chief evil spirit. And we know that story. It goes through three different tests, and he passes. So he's listening to his father, he's learning, and we realize how that Jesus is so in direct contact with his father that he comes out in his first really public appearance in Mark's gospel, at least, is this gospel where he meets this unclean man who's shouting at him. And that's why I shouted. Or as my wife said, you want to hear shouting? I'll tell you shouting, but I gave you the nice version. So that's the setting. And then we hear about the unclean spirit. The unclean spirit is smart. The first person in Mark's gospel that says, I know who you are. You're the Holy One. Funny how the unclean spirit knows who he is, and it's not revealed yet to the disciples. And he disrupts this whole congregation, and what does Jesus do? Be silent, come out, and the man's freed. And then we hear about the man who was possessed. So it's not only like an exorcism, but it's also really a healing. It's the first healing in Mark's gospel. A man was somehow taken over by this unclean spirit. We don't know why, we don't know how, we don't get all those details. But we know that in his true self that bears the image of God, he's liberated and he is returned to being whole. And we know that somehow, maybe the good part of him, or however this worked, he was brought himself to the temple, to a holy place, to really look for liberation. So can you relate to all this? Can you relate to just an easy example, a young parent who just loses it with their young child? They're so fried out on life and all the details and all the stuff that somehow they just lose it. Most of us have gone through that little phase in our life, and we just kind of go, yeah, we've been there. It's hard when you're a young parent. Or can you relate to the idea that sometimes we are the ones, are mostly truly selves, are somehow missing, and compared to how we act sometimes. So there's something going on in this story, but this man is deeply entrenched, trapped, really, with an unclean spirit. And then we hear about the crowd, the synagogue. And what must they be thinking, right? They're amazed. They're enraptured by this new person that has walked into their synagogue, teaching with such clear authority and with just his presence. Did they feel threatened? Sure, they did. Imagine someone showing up here just going crazy. I heard it happened at a annual meeting a couple years ago. So maybe that was the closest you've all dealt with. But anyhow, but they had seen God's power. They had seen this triumph over evil. They saw Jesus really at his prime immediately, and then the word goes out to the countryside. So do unclean spirits on here. Remind me of my old church, St. George's. We'll get going. Hey, let's go. I'll give you a brief example. When my children were younger, a boy, girl, my son, daughter, our two cousins, a boy, girl, would meet at our house every morning. They'd walk to school. They'd go to school. It was very close. They came home, and the rule was when they came home, there was Kathleen's rule, my wife, right? Kathy, you walk in the house, you take off your shoes. No problem. There's kind of like you're out of school now, but you still got rules. So you come in, walk, put your books on the table. You can go get a snack in the snack cabinet, very organized. And get your snack, you sit down, you start doing your homework. When the homework is done, you can go out and play all you want. And then my brother-in-law, sister-in-law would pick them up 5 o'clock when they got home from work. So that usually happened. People were maybe a little upset about something at school, but generally they'd boom, 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 sit down, get going, and go play. Every now and then, there was someone that needed to decompress, would go into their room, would throw stuff around, would start yelling at themselves. You know, we wondered if we had an unclean spirit in the house, but then would come out very calmly, sit down, do homework, share. One was good at English, one was good at math. And they would help each other. But we realized this person just had to let their yah-yahs out. They had been the perfect student at school, and the teacher liked this particular person who would then help another person all day who really kind of had an unclean spirit. So every day there was a lot of emotion involved with not only being a student, but kind of helping someone that needed a lot of help. So I know about unclean spirits in my own home. But as adults, sometimes we get angry, or we push back, or we push our anger down, or we feel guilt for whatever we do. And maybe we have a drink or something to decompress. There's something that we do that helps us decompress after our day at work or wherever. And as adults, though, sometimes we are reluctant to ask for help. In this case, our gospel talks about divine help. But when we're dealing with unclean spirits, the ones that we typically deal with, folks that have alcoholism, people that have addictions, those type of things that hold us back from the abundance of God, right? We need to go beyond just asking for help from God. We need to go to wherever it is, to a counselor, to a spiritual advisor, to someone that can help us beyond what God can do, right? Just right here, right now. And for most of us, divine intervention is mediated truly by other human beings. Therapists, like I said, spiritual friends, 12-step programs, there's many of them. And we come to corporate worship right here, right now. We're doing some of it. A lot of us can just come. We can confess our sins. We can think about what we need to do kind of the next week, get ourselves balanced and get back on the road. As the divine liturgy draws our attention to God's good purposes and equips us, right, as modern-day disciples to go out and cast out the little demons that we deal with every day, right? So I wanted to tell you about what I did this week with a number of other people here at the church. I went to a 3-day class for facilitators to learn to be a facilitator for something called Walking the Mourner's Path. Walking the Mourner's Path was developed 25, 30 years ago by, I think, a deacon. But a number of us and 24 people were over in the school area, and we learned how to help folks that are going through grief. And it can be anybody that's had someone who's died in their family for 4 months, back to, we had a lady in there, a 33-year-old memory of not working out their grief. Something that was holding them back, something that kept them unstuck, somewhat like this man in the gospel today, the man that was trapped, he was stuck. And anyhow, what you do is we learn the lessons, you go through what would happen here and what will start happening next week. Go through 8 1.5-hour sessions. And you just, there's a book, and you just follow the book. And it reminds you of things, and it gives you some ideas of what to do to help yourself kind of get through a grieving process. You pick one person who you're grieving for, but a lot of times others show up. You can grieve your grandparents, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your children. There's a lot of grief that we don't even know that we're carrying, but what I can tell you, and it's hard work, I got to tell you. We did it all in 2.5 days, but you'll do it over 8 weeks. Give you a little break and let you think about it. And the idea is that you walk through it. And you're listening to other people. So you just, it's a little 12-step-ish that you be in that you're hearing how other people are either dealing with it or not, and then they listen to you, etc., and it helps. And the idea is that we kind of walk this mourner's path together. The Holy Spirit was clearly alive in this class. And let me tell you, I'm one of those people, I'm the guy that I want to do everything by myself. I'm a D-I-U guy, I'm like do-it-myself type of guy, somewhat of a lone wolf. But I have to tell you, it was very helpful for me. I had a brother died 3-4 months ago, and just, I was angry. And the first day, the first hour, the lady said, you can be angry, and I went, like, intellectually, I know that. I mean, I've dealt with, you know, grief, other people. But it was very powerful, and it just did something, like, click, something clicked. It didn't resolve it immediately, but over the next couple of days, I went, I get it, right? I was angry because my brother didn't take care of himself. But what could I, you know, I mean, you know, that. But it's anger, and then it turns in and becomes guilt. So if you're interested, I highly recommend for those who would like to walk and talk with other people going through these 8 workshops or sessions, like I said, over 8 weeks. And you learn to kind of self-identify reasons that you're stuck in a place or stuck with certain pain of that loss. But the Holy Spirit, again, clearly alive. Because together we can do what we cannot do alone, which is what we say at the end of every session. So we were anointed and blessed by Father Marty on Saturday. There's a Eucharist here, who told us that God wants us to be healed and transformed from our experiences of pain and grief and death. And we're sent out then to heal and bless others who we meet along the walking the mourner's path. So please consider where you are on your spiritual journey. What's holding you back from a deeper journey into the abundance and blessings of living closer to Jesus? Jesus, what he does, Jesus is the same in the past, in the present, and in the future, right? Jesus healed this man in the past. Jesus heals people today. Though he likes some disciples to help a little bit. That's probably the more modern thing. So come speak with Beth Shires, Catherine Metzger, Father Marty, or I about walking the mourner's path. There is one starting this week, but I think it will continue over, you know, in other sessions, another 8 week. And then may God bless you on your journey, on your spiritual journey that offers you a very abundant life through Christ. Amen.